The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. A little thought here for you for Wednesday of Holy Week. Question for you here today. Have you ever noticed that somebody will read, say, one or two articles on a subject, or maybe they'll read maybe one book on a subject, and suddenly they'll consider themselves to be experts on that subject? You ever notice that? Or somebody who thinks that they're the greatest singer is completely oblivious to the fact that they're a terrible singer and everybody knows it except them. Or have you ever noticed somebody would maybe take one or two lessons in piano or guitar or violin, and a couple of lessons, they think that they're a master? Have you ever noticed this? If you ever noticed that, I promise you, you're not alone. It's a psychological phenomenon so common that it actually has a name. It's known as the Dunning-Kruger effect. The Dunning-Kruger effect. That means that the less intelligent or the less skilled you are, the more likely you are to overestimate your intelligence or your skill. And by contrast, if you find somebody who really is skilled, really is smart, they're more likely to underestimate their own skill or their own intelligence. The Dunning-Kruger effect. The reason why I mention that is because it's got a spiritual parallel. And the spiritual parallel is that only somebody who's a really great sinner ever thinks that they're a saint. Only somebody who's spiritually mediocre, who's unaware of their deep, deep personal faults. These are the only people who ever think they're a saint. Somebody who's really a saint is the first person to admit that they're a sinner. Plenty of examples for that, right? Our own Saint Therese, our own patroness. She once said, "I don't boast of my merits before Jesus, because I don't have any merits before Jesus. Every merit was a complete gift of him to me. All I have is my own sins." And they're not faking it either. A real saint knows they're a sinner. And so here in this gospel, it's Holy Thursday and it's the Last Supper, and Jesus turns to his apostles and he shocks them all by saying, "Amen, I say to you, this night, one of you will betray me." And the apostles manifest a certain amount of spiritual maturity. And they say to themselves one to another, "Please, I hope it's not me. I hope it's not me." A spiritually immature person, they turn that around and they say, well, it's definitely not me. It's probably one of you, right? Spiritual maturity, good for them. You know what we want to do? We want to put ourselves into this scene. Go ahead and put yourself into the scene. Imagine you're there at table with Jesus on Holy Thursday night, and Jesus has just said, this night, one of you will betray me. And then say right along with the apostles, Lord, please, I hope it's not me. Because you want to know something? All of us are guilty of betraying Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't go to the cross just because of Judas Iscariot. You go to Mass on Palm Sunday, or if you go on Good Friday, you'll notice something unusual about the gospel. It's the only time in which the entire congregation participates in the gospel. You know what I'm talking about? Where everybody, why is it only that time that the entire congregation participates in the gospel? It's to remind us that we all are guilty in betraying Jesus Christ. It's only a question of how. So let's take a look at all the people who worked together to put Jesus Christ on the cross. There were the high priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people. They betrayed Christ. They were afraid that Jesus was becoming so popular that there was going to be a popular uprising among the people and that the Roman government was going to come in and put down the uprising and people were going to die and blood was going to be shed. And so the high priest Caiaphas spoke for them all and said, you fools, don't you realize that it's more expedient that one man should die for the people? He betrayed Christ when he did that. And you want to know what? We did too. Because tell me if this sounds familiar. Have you ever done something wrong and called it right just because it was easy? If you can say yes to that, you stand in his shoes as well. Pontius Pilate, he betrayed Christ too. Pontius Pilate, the Roman procurator, his job was to administer justice. But you know what he did? He betrayed justice. He washed his hands of it. He said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. His job was to administer justice, and instead he ignored justice, and he betrayed Christ. If you've ever done that, you stand in his shoes too. Have you ever failed to do your duty as soon as doing your duty became a sacrifice? If so, then you're standing right alongside Pontius Pilate. How about the 12 apostles? Every last one of them betrayed Christ. 11 out of 12 apostles ran away from Jesus and didn't go to the foot of the cross. Only St. John went to the foot of the cross. God bless him. However, when Jesus was on trial before the Sanhedrin, he was nowhere to be found. Every last apostle ran away from Jesus in his hour of greatest need. They all betrayed him. And you can be certain that you've done that too. We say that every time we say Mass. It's something that's called a sin of omission. It's not what you did. It's what you failed to do. Every time we say Mass, Lord, have mercy on me for what I've done and for what I've failed to do. And that's where we stand side by side with the apostles in betraying Christ as well. Now, make no mistake about it. God is so powerful that he can bring good out of anything. He can bring good out of evil. In fact, God is so powerful that even the people who are deliberately not doing God's will are helping to bring about God's will. All of these betrayals led to our redemption and to our forgiveness. Jesus says, my appointed time draws near. The Hebrew word for time is moed, and it has the exact same meaning as an appointment, as if to say, in God's sight, nothing happens by chance. But on this Wednesday of Holy Week, now as we enter into the sacred Triduum, the holiest days of the year, please remember this. In God's sight, nobody can claim innocence. Nobody. So please don't even try. Doesn't matter whether it's a sin of omission or a sin of commission. It doesn't matter whether it's a sin of weakness or a sin of deliberate malice. Nobody claims innocence. But you know what we can claim? We can claim mercy. Let's claim it in abundance as we say, we adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you've redeemed the world.